We don't want you to hear you. You're not supposed to speak, Tom.
Okay, we're good?
Good.
In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would everybody please rise for a flag salute? Also followed by a moment of silence for tonight. I'd like for Brian Wonder's family. His son got in a car accident today, so we'd just like that for him. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, presentation of minutes. We have the January 18th minutes from 2017, minutes of regular meeting. Has everybody got to review? Any changes, corrections? Or not, a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the regular minutes of the meeting of January 18th, 2017.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Then we have the executive session minutes from also January 18, 2017. Any corrections or a motion?
Seeing all is in order, I'll also make that motion to approve the executive meeting minutes of January 18, 2017.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Can I get a motion to open to public comment, limited to agenda items only?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Anybody has any public comment regarding agenda items? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close?
I'll make a motion to close.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Next is ordinance. This is a public hearing for ordinance 2017-01, ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and establish a cap bank. Can I get a motion to open to the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay, so anybody has any comments about the cap bank? This is a public hearing for it. Once, twice, three times, gone. Motion to close?
I'll make a motion to close.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to...
thank you.
Approve the cap back... Cap Bank, establish the Cap Bank with resolution 2017-01.
Ordinance.
Ordinance, excuse me.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. First resolution is resolution 22-2017, Verizon Wireless reevaluation of the installation of wireless nodes. Oh, can come up to sit at the table. Yep. I'm sorry, I forget what your name was again.
I'm Catherine Windsor with Catherine Technology.
Knew who you were from. I just forgot what your first name was. Just to make clear, as we... You know, she did her job great, and I know she was upset, and I mean, she, for what she was sent here to do, I think she was informative. She brought papers back when we asked for it again. When she was here, and now more came to light, our lawyer brought it to attention that this seems to be a more of a hot potato item, and there's some items that we weren't really aware of that, because this would set a precedent for us moving forward if you know, Sprint or the next company that would want to do the similar process. So we want to just kind of understand it more and look at where how we want to handle this for the township.
We understand that. I'm going to stand up.
Okay.
Can you introduce yourself?
Yes.
I'm Italian. I got it. So Lou Darminio, Price, Meese, Shulman, and Darminio. We represent Verizon. As you know, Catherine Windsor represents, has works for Tilson Technologies, and Ms. Windsor has been here several times before, as you indicated, and they're our site acquisition contract. Just on behalf of Verizon, we'd like to express our disappointment to see that the governing body is considering rescinding the consent to these small network nodes. As I said, as we mentioned, our representative has been here before. We've provided several presentations, detailed photos, detailed the number of nodes, maintenance procedures, and contacts. And we stand ready to work with you to answer and provide any reasonable additional information that you want directly with us. Ms. Sandorsi, the clerk, was very kind. She gave us a copy of the resolution. And we noticed that the draft resolution references unnamed information supplied by sources with regard to safety, health, and welfare concerns. And you know, we stand ready to deal directly with the governing body with any of those, if there are any additional concerns that the board may have. That the governing body may have. In terms of safety, you're aware we're going to be meeting all building and electrical codes. And in terms of health, there's very low power and the limited number of nodes in town. I think it's under 10, 9 or 10. With regard to the public welfare concerns, if you're concerned about aesthetics, and the pictures show that these nodes are smaller than the typical transformer that PSNG would put on their poles. They're only about 2 feet high, and that's about as high as they go above the poles. And as was indicated, they're only, I believe, 9, we know now, that they're just only going to be 9 in the town. And I think everyone acknowledges that there's a growing demand for the new technologies, and there's greater data needs, and there's greater burdens on the telecommunication systems. And as a result, this is necessary infrastructure. These nodes are designed to provide essential services to your citizens, which I'm sure you're aware of. Really, the nodes, more than any other portion of the telecommunication system, deals with the locale. And these are things that citizens want and need in terms of where they even want to locate now, access to the Internet and access to telecommunications is absolutely critical. In fact, after the meeting, Ms. Windsor had mentioned that a resident came up and said, you're going to put one by me because I don't have any cell service. So, and I think that's how important it is. And again, as you're aware, and your council can tell you, the federal government requires that we provide these services and provide the system. And it also requires local governments to review these requests without any delay. So I understand your concern, Mr. Mayor. You very eloquently indicated that you have some concerns and you want to meet them. I understand that we would be directed to the planning board pursuant to the resolution. Setting aside the issue of whether that's authorized or not, the governing body is what has the consent power that we've been dealing with directly. And could you imagine if we had to go to, Verizon had to go to all the planning boards and all the towns in New Jersey when the planning board doesn't really deal with municipal consent, would just terribly delay and hinder and burden our getting the system going. So what we're requesting is that you reconsider your decision to rescind, maybe at least carry your memorialization. We'd be happy again to meet with you. We'd like to know what are some of those additional concerns. Your resolution indicated some of those. I think we met most of your concerns, but anything additional, we can provide information. We'd be happy to do that directly to you. Since the governing body has the ultimate say, we're happy to address directly with you, and that's what we would certainly like to do. In short, as we've already shown, we could provide you with information directly and with in a timely manner, and we would hope that we'd be able to continue to do that, and we would welcome that dealing directly with the governing body. Thank you very much.
I mean, the big concern here is we are the governing body, yes, but the planning boards and our zoning boards have always heard, you know, this is after thinking about it, reading some of the information, you know, seeing Verizon, AT&T, Sprint all come to their, you know, meetings to explain how this cell tower is going up, and they would come in with a radio frequency person and a lawyer and a planner and a, you know, for all these towers, and essentially there's many towers you're putting up, you know, throughout the town. And you may come today, and next week Sprint comes, and the following week, you know, AT&T or Singular or whoever else comes, and this precedent and that area that's dead for you may also be dead for them as far as a dead zone. And next thing you know, there's four or five of these poles right in a row that have these very innocuous looking boxes, but now there's a bunch of them. And if it happens to be somebody's front yard that they're looking out at these bunch of boxes, is our concern, where we'd really want the planning board, who's more versed in this, knowing where they're giving this, these approvals for these to be set up, to know the specific pole, the specific locations, so they could understand how they're going to impact our residents. And that's my, you know, that's my view of it after reading a lot of this stuff and the information that our lawyer's given us and doing my own little research and just thinking about it in more depth of, because I hadn't, when Catherine had come, I didn't think more about the other, you know, the precedent we're setting. It wasn't really brought up, and it wasn't her job to bring it up. But that's our job, to think about these things, and that's why I feel it needs to go to the planning board. I'm certainly welcome to the rest of the committee here to speak on their thoughts.
Without disagreeing with anything Mark said, my interpretation of what happened here is that we did get very good information, and I think we asked a number of questions and got comfortable that this was nine nodes. It'd be mostly on the county route 513, and so we had a good idea where they were. And then we approved a proposed resolution that had been provided to us. And the week after, our attorney told us we actually approved what he called a blanket resolution that would allow you, he said, to put in, you know, 500 nodes when we understood it was 8 to 10. Now we understand it's 9. You're confirming that. So my question would be, I agree with, you know, getting the planning board to establish policy, but whether a resolution could be drafted authorizing a specific number of nodes, a specific number of locations, if, you know, to meet your needs to an interest in getting started on a project to serve our citizens. We still may want the planning board to evaluate that or not, but to take back our blanket resolution, which would establish a precedent that we'd have to give to everyone, and to say if you have 9 nodes, you know where they are, our experts are comfortable that they're in innocuous places. You know, there were one or two other technical questions that came up after we looked more, and I don't want to get overly technical in this discussion, but, for example, the illustrations you gave us has an antenna on the top of the pole. It's been pointed out that all of our poles are actually power line poles, which have power running on the top of the poles, which raises the question, does this mean that none of our existing poles can allow an antenna on the top, and we're actually authorizing, you know, new poles everywhere? So there are details that I think we need a little bit more information on, but also wondering if we can really narrow the scope of the resolution to get you started.
Well, I certainly understand better, you know, your position and your concerns, but I believe that we could answer all of those concerns just directly with the board. We're not saying that we wouldn't, I could see, you know, how the existing resolution, you know, perhaps you would want to limit it. But if we could provide some additional information now, I believe this one's just prepared to. But overall, that might be a reason to provide some matter of a postponement, to sit down and see what those concerns are and provide it. And the other thing is that these, I know, use the word mini towers, but we're not going any higher than maybe 2 feet above, you know, what they are, but we can put limitations on the, you know, the nature of the locations, the nature of the poles, we'd be willing to work with you on those, just, you know, right now, right after this. I think one of the concerns is that not no longer, you know, having the consent and, you know, going to the planning board. We don't intend to. We don't believe that there's authorization for certain to have a full hearing on those issues, and we'd provide them the same information that we provide you and answer all the questions in the same way. So in essence, we'd be doing it twice, and since you are the ones that the committee's the ones, the governing body, who provide the consent, we just think it best to be direct. Ms. Windsor, would you like to add to that?
If I may add, you know, I've worked on this project for over a year now, and I've certainly faced these concerns with other municipalities, and let me assure you that we very much want to work with you. We're certainly willing to work with you. We provide a what we consider a standard resolution, and you know that's up to you to edit. We provide it merely as guidance because we, you know, we're trying to save you some time so that the clerks don't have to retype everything. So we see it as a template. You know, if you want to put a limitation in to limit it to, I know we have like 9 polls that we're looking at now. If you want to limit it to 10 nodes, and then after 10 nodes, we have to come back again with more information, like, you know, additional locations that we're looking at and get approval from you again, we can do that. If you're concerned about specific locations, we can work with you on that. I mean, we're very much amenable to working with you. We certainly want your residents to be happy. We want you to be happy. We want everybody to be happy. We really see this as a service to your residents. As Lou was mentioning, I did speak with a citizen after the, I forget which meeting I was at, but he had mentioned to me a particular dead zone off of Route 513. And I was able to go back to Verizon and to confirm that that particular location, they're looking to target to put a small network node there. So that would remedy some of the issues that I've heard from your residents, and I'm sure you hear that as well. But if I may reiterate, we're certainly willing to work with you. We'd be happy to sit down and discuss any concerns with you. You know, we're here to work with you. We would just respectfully ask that you at least reconsider this or at least table it to the next meeting so that we could have a more in-depth meeting to ascertain every single concern that you have, provide requisite information, and the like.
And we certainly respect your concerns, and we respect your authority to deal with your consent in a reasonable way.
Anything, Beth?
If I may, there actually is a provision in your ordinances about wireless communication facilities, and it does provide the ordinance is not particularly clear, and I suspect it's because technology is always evolving, and so this is something new that perhaps was not contemplated in the ordinance, but it appears as though in the ordinance that something like this would have to go to the planning board. Things wireless telecommunications equipment, as the ordinance calls it, it's section 400-15. It's a permitted use in all non-residential zones, but then there is language in here about planning board review of it and sort of visual compatibility requirements and other things. And then in residential zones, wireless communications facilities are actually conditional uses. So it seems like by sending this to the planning board, we're not reinventing the wheel. It's you're kind of working with an existing framework that perhaps can be tweaked for these specific situations where you're looking to do, you know, more than just one, not where it's a review of every single little one, but yes, you can get approval for 10 at a time if a map is provided or something like that detailing the specific locations. And I don't know, have they picked out specific locations, and is there a map that details that?
Yes, they're still proposed locations, so they're not absolutely finalized, but yes, I can definitely give them information.
In response to counsel's statements, I mean, it's our position that these aren't applications for development. These aren't towers. These are on the right of way. You know, these aren't subject to that provision of your code. I mean, we I'm not sure about the authorization. If we have to go before the planning board, it would be more in terms of providing the kinds of information that this governing body has requested us. But in terms of doing a full-scale, you know, hearing, you know, site plan hearing with regard to all these locations is not something that I think is
provided in the municipal land use law or contemplated. I think council's point is well taken. This is kind of a different animal.
Yeah, I think what the ordinance contemplates is not a full-blown site plan hearing. It does sound like what the ordinance contemplates is the kind of information you're giving to the governing body, and so perhaps, like you said, duplicating work makes no sense, making the same presentation to the planning board as the governing body. It might make sense to have some sort of special joint meeting of the two bodies where the planning board can review it and provide whatever they need to provide under the ordinance, and then the governing body can provide the needed consent so that you're not having two presentations on effectively the same topic. And I don't know, how many of the governing body members actually sit on the planning board?
Two of us.
So, again, you would be hearing it twice. So that's something to think about to sort of shorten the
procedure. Yeah, I mean, just because we have, you know, the planner that's there that understands, you know, is more in depth than but the municipal end of it. And my concern is that we're the locations, and I know when originally it come, there was 20 in the region, was, you know, and that, you know, so it was kind of open as to these locations. And I think it's important to know the specifics of these locations so we can understand how they would impact, you know, a resident if it's right in their front yard. Another pole has to get put there because all of our power poles have power running literally within inches of the top. Looking at your pictures, I do a lot of work with PSE&G, and JCP&L is the same way. They don't let you above their power lines. So you're going to be putting in new poles.
We can get you that information tomorrow.
Okay.
Specifically, how many of the 9 or 10 would be new poles?
Yes. If you would please, again, just table this so I can get you more information. I think that would be very helpful. I think we could perhaps review the ordinance a little bit more in depth because I think it really is a new area, and I think there are different interpretations. So, again, we would just, if you could please table it until the next meeting, let us get some more information to you, please.
Okay.
Could you confirm just for us, because there's a whole range of technologies going out there. Is this Wi-Fi technology?
No.
Is it line of sight communications in any way? Or is this the LTE cell networks that we're familiar with?
It's a specific subset of technology called ODAS, Outdoor Distributed Antenna System. It's also referred to as small cell technology. So I think I mentioned, I think so, at one of the other hearings. Imagine, if you will, you have a glass base, and you put these big marbles in them. These big marbles represent the big macros that you see, the big towers. Well, it fills up the bowl, but you still have these spaces, these little tiny gaps. The small network nodes are meant to fill in those tiny gaps. So they're a very small, targeted piece of equipment. You know, they're very small. They're smaller than a transformer. So it is a newer subset of technology, if you will, and it's meant to fill in those gaps that the macros can't reach.
But it's the same network technology as the big towers. I'm pointing because we have a big tower right outside.
The small network nodes are meant to work in conjunction with the macros. They're not meant to replace them or anything like that. But they do work together. They communicate together.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not Wi-Fi or any?
No, sir.
And how does the signal get to and from that little node? Will you be hooking into the telephone wire that's already on the pole?
That's the
landline?
That's a little bit. That would be an RF question, and I can get you the answer. I'm not absolutely certain, and I don't want to speculate without the definitive response.
Okay. But you need power off of these poles.
Yes. Yeah.
Well.
We apply for our building permits, our electrical permits. We do need electric.
And an example of something I think we'd want in the resolution, in your information, you said that in areas and neighborhoods, for example, subdivisions that have varied utilities, you wouldn't put new poles up.
Oh, absolutely.
You had standard language that said you would use more like a lighting, a street light pole. We don't happen to have street lights.
Right.
But if none of them are in those zones, we can eliminate that complexity. But that's just an example of the complexity that we saw after the resolution.
We
authorized them to put new poles in neighborhoods without poles.
Right. The streetlight fixture that you referenced is not even contemplated by the request before you. That would be a second. I certainly understand your concern. That would actually be a separate request for any streetlight fixtures. My company, Tilson, they have a CLEC, and they would be the one doing that. We mentioned it in the literature so that you were aware of the different scenarios that we can provide to municipalities. For instance, if there is underground facilities, there's an option. Does that mean we're going to do it? No.
And that's the sort of thing we just need to
Right, exactly.
Up. That's the concern that came after.
Understood.
What we said.
Yeah. Certainly.
You know, still my concerns. I don't know if is it worth, as Tara said, to having it, you know, at one of our planning board meetings, make it a joint meeting than on both sides of it. You know, the disadvantage you have is you're the first. You know,
the advantage ultimately too.
It is too. It's on both sides of this. The advantage of it is that you're the first, and the disadvantage is you're first. So sometimes you have to pave the way with a little extra pain. But we don't want to be, you know, we want to make sure we're crossing our T's. I understand that our residents want to have service, but they also, you know, the benefit of 6,000, we don't want to hurt 10 or 12 because they have an extra, possibly ugly view in front of their house. I know our planning board's the 7th, but I don't know if that's time enough to do something. Make Gail blow her head.
That's a big meeting on the 7th.
Yeah, so I mean, it would then be the March 7th would be the next one.
I think that's more reasonable.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, because it would also have to be advertised as a special meeting of the governing body, because it would be contemplated that you guys would actually be taking action at that meeting.
Correct.
Because I think it needs to, if we go the route of planning board review of these, it needs to be hand in hand. Planning board said, yes, these locations are good, and then you guys would say, okay, we give our consent for you to operate in the right of way. So we have to be.
Do you have a joint meeting, though, on the 7th, this coming meeting?
That is already posted as
a joint meeting. It is already posted, yeah.
Can we check with Gail to see if she has space on the agenda? And then if not, then make it the March meeting? Or it depends.
We're all going to be there anyway.
Since that's my point. So you don't have to do another joint meeting, well, for those.
Provided you could be prepared at that point.
I would think we'd be able to. We have some additional questions that you have. Again, I'd have to speak to my client in terms of participating in that. We'll get back to you right away. Again, they told me that you just want to go before the committee, you know, so I've got to speak to them about that. But if you can set that up or as a possibility, and I would get right back to you on that as well.
Well, see if
you want me to try for this?
Yeah, see if Gail feels it's something we can discuss. I mean, I don't know how long it'll be. You know, I don't think it would be more than probably 30-minute conversation, as we've had, you know.
That's what my thought was, too.
But I would say, in fairness, my understanding is the packets for that, for the planning board members to prepare, has already gone out.
Yes.
And that meeting is Tuesday, so that's, you know, 3 working days from now. Whether that's even practical to consider that they could be prepared.
If
you could get them the information in a timely fashion, there wouldn't be more than 24 hours for them to review it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true. Yeah.
So I think March 7th might be the...
Okay. I'll see what her agenda looks like for March 7th. And
Then why don't we just say that? I mean, because I don't think then it wouldn't be fair to the rest of it. And some of those, you know,
and if the
they don't have email, some of those guys.
Sure. Okay. All right.
For the planner to educate himself, because my assumption is he's not aware that this is coming at all, so...
Michael? No.
Yeah.
Probably not, no.
So to have him be prepared and to make it a productive meeting for everybody, I think...
Yeah, so not to get it tabled again.
Right.
Okay.
So then why would we say just March 7th? Because I don't... Yeah, I think we'd just... It wouldn't be as productive if some of them aren't prepared to.
And then we'll get back to you too. And if there's any other questions that come up, we want to be prepared for them. You know, perhaps I could speak to counsel.
Yes, sorry, I meant to call you back today. The day got away from me.
But understand that.
Yeah. I think we can kind of this ordinance, whether or not it applies. I think it might just provide us a good roadmap of kind of what the municipality would need to give you the valid approval to move forward, so that, you know, and you're operating within some sort of framework that's already established, so you're not just operating without any authority on this type of thing. So
and let me speak to counsel. And again, I still have to get authorization from my client. I'm hopeful that we could do that and work together. Then March 7th is the date.
I'll verify with the planning board clerk tomorrow.
And, I'll give you my card and you can get back to me. That'd be great.
Yep, sure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yes.
So, is this officially tabled?
Yes. Well, yeah. It'll be to the March. Unless something changes, it'll be March 7th.
But we still are going to pass this resolution rescinding.
Well, we passed it. We're passing it. We're just
memorializing it.
Memorial
motion. You could do that.
Yeah. So we're just memorializing it in the motion that we did it. So we just need a motion to memorialize that we're rescinding it and then tabling the.
Okay.
So resolution 22217 was passed in the last meeting, and now the motion would be to memorialize that we now have the full draft of resolution 22-2017?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, could we just have that perhaps memorialized afterwards, because it could be amended, it could be changed, depending on what happens on March 7th.
Well, we'll then make a new one for March 7th. Is my point is that this way we have it that we're documenting that we're putting a hold on this until that point, is the way I view it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we already have.
Right, it's already have, but this is just memorializing because we didn't have the written document at that point. So if you made the motion.
I made the motion.
Need a second? Or what? What are your thoughts?
I'd like to hear the motion again.
Oh. Well, it's the resolution we had done last meeting for putting this essentially on hold and rescinding
right.
the previous one. And we're just memorializing it because we didn't have it written in front of us.
So is that the appropriate language to say a motion
yes,
to memorialize resolution?
Tabling the entire discussion still then the consent is still granted, and that kind of doesn't make any sense because mm-hmm. you're going to want the planning board to look at this and then grant your consent based on that.
But
so.
the resolution was already passed in the last meeting
oh, okay.
to rescind it.
I would say amend it. It's rescinded mm-hmm. with the understanding that you're going to have a joint meeting with the planning board on March 7th.
Okay.
So you're rescinding it with the understanding that the discussion is continuing with Verizon. The door hasn't been shut.
We've already rescinded. So the motion is to memorialize.
To memorialize
that resolution 22.
Right. With the
understanding was passed with the understanding that we'll now meet with Verizon and Tilson Wireless
and
a joint planning board meeting.
At our next available
targeting.
Planning board yeah. meeting as a joint meeting. That's the motion on the table.
Yes.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Thank you. Thank you. Okay. This is
resolution 24-2017. Resolution for the bond anticipation note. For $810,400, essentially the combination of all of our other bonds into that one bond.
Well, it's twice a year we are
rolling
bonds
in.
Rolling twice a year, and this was the January bond rollover. So note rollover. The
note.
Bond anticipation
right.
notes.
Yes, notes, not full bonds. So I need a motion to approve.
I would make a motion to approve resolution 24-2017 for authorizing the bond anticipation notes effective January 27, 2017.
I second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Then we have... I just want to ask to be a public... this is resolution 25-2017, but this is actually a public hearing for this because this is looking for Green Acres enabling resolution, and it's a requirement that it is a public hearing. Mike, do you want to, you know it more intimately if
sure.
you want to be specific on it?
Sure. So this is the resolution authorizing Lebanon Township to apply for Green Acres funding. The State of New Jersey announced a $67 million Green Acres funding round with a deadline of February 15th. We are making a planning incentive grant application. The specific property that we're putting in the grant application is 244 acres in the northern corner of our county. It's currently offered for sale by the Pelio family. The asking price is $1.8 million, so our grant application is for 50% Green Acres funding of $928,500. It's clear that if we are successful in this grant, that we will have to come up with the other 50% matching funds either by ourselves or through our intention would be to do it with partnerships with other funding sources such as county and private grants. So this application does not obligate us to spend money. There is no contract yet for this property. What it does is authorize us to make the application to the Green Acres Fund.
Mike, have other groups shown interest in this property?
In terms of support for us?
Yes.
Yes. We've gotten quite a number along with the EOSC, our Environmental Open Space Committee, has endorsed this particular property. And I should point out that the planning incentive grant is for money that could be used for the 2002 open space plan that was originally built for, you know, designed for the property, for the township, went through public hearing process and the like. It was reexamined in a 2012 master plan reexamination for the township, and these properties are designated on that as preservation priorities. So, and I should point out as well, the way the Green Acres funds work, if this actual acquisition doesn't go through, because it's a planning incentive grant, whatever award we get from Green Acres, we can use for other properties to execute our open space preservation plan in the township. I can tell you, so far we've received letters of support from the Highlands Council, from the New Jersey Water Supply Authority, the New Jersey Conservation Foundation, which is taking the lead in negotiating for this for the transaction, Raritan Headwaters, Musconetcong Watershed Association, which Nancy Lawler chaperoned through. She also received letters from the Musconetcong River Management Council and the New Jersey Chapter of Trout Unlimited and the Highlands Coalition. On February 7th, our planning board will review the application for this piece of property to confirm that it's part of the plan and to endorse. Presumably, they'll take a view on endorsing. And tomorrow, in fact, the Hunterdon County Planning Board meets to provide us with a letter that this is also in fits into the Hunterdon County plan for open space preservation.
So there's a lot of support for this project, and this project has been something kind of on the back burner at times.
Well, actually, for that, I'm glad you brought that up. In 2008, 2009, there was a $700,000 grant from Green Acres for this exact property. It was under contract with the township and Hunterdon County to purchase it. For various reasons, that transaction didn't go through. The asking price today is one-third less than the asking price in 2008-2009. But it's now back on the market, and as you say, there are a lot of conservation groups that support.
And the property is currently for sale right now.
Yes, it's offered on the market. The motivation for this property, we're calling the project name that we're giving it is the Teetertown to Point Mountain Link. It's 244 acres that happens to be contiguous on the eastern side to properties Crystal Springs, thanks, Teetertown Reserve. On the western side, it's contiguous to through Camp Burney, which is considered a privately owned preserved land, over to the Point Mountain Preserves. And there's contiguous preserved land that links down to the Miquin Woods. This 244 acres would then create 2,600 contiguous acres of preserved property in our township and hundreds of acres of additional preserved property across the line into Warren County and Morris County. That's why many of these groups are so interested in it, because of the rare scale of preserved property that this link would create.
And the drainage is twofold, right? Musconetcong and Spruce Run?
It's the watershed.
Which is rare.
It runs right up, it straddles the Musconetcong watershed.
South Branch and the Muskie. Both sides, yeah.
Through the Spruce Run, which is why the New Jersey Water Supply Authority, in fact, they've already offered support for matching funds for the transaction costs that would be substantial on this, because it does provide water to indirectly as many as 5 million New Jersey residents between groundwater recharge and the tributaries into the reservoir.
Are there any structures on the property?
There's one house on one of the properties that's actually fire damaged that would have to be taken care of in part of a transaction, but no other structures. It's about two-thirds open agricultural fields, and the other third is wooded.
Okay. And this might even be premature, but the grant contract, if we go into this grant, are there any stipulations that we have to be aware of that they can do things with this property down the road?
if under the Green Acres rules, it's very tight that nothing can be done with the property. It's preserved property in perpetuity.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess I would first make a motion to open to public comment, since this is a public hearing that's required for the application.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 So if anybody has anything to talk about or ask about what Mike had just said, now is your opportunity.
Ron Mikowski, Rockland Road. Just help me out here. This is already in the Highlands Preservation Area. So in order to develop it, you'd have to have a minimum of a 50-acre lot. What are we afraid of? You're talking, what, four houses? Help me out here.
Is it a 50-acre lot or 25 acres?
I believe it's 50. 20. As it said, it's part of it's wooded and stuff?
Part of it's wooded, most of it is open, and it's already subdivided into, I can get you the exact number, multiple lots. But you're right, it's a handful of potential development that could occur.
So if it is 25, we're talking 8 homes.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 at the most on 280 acres, you said, or
244 acres. Yeah.
And we're talking going debt for possibly half of it.
Which... My intention, and I'm not asking for any vote right now on using township money for this, my intention would be to partner, for example, with New Jersey Conservation Foundation, the county, other sources, to leverage the money significantly to purchase it. And it's not clear that the entire lot would be purchased. That's our current proposal. But for example, for trail linkage and the like, there would be a reason to preserve and buy property.
Yeah. Trail linkage, I believe we're talking about another piece of partial land that connects some trails together, be maybe several acres. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
240 acres for... That's a lot of land.
It is a lot of land.
And comes off the tax rolls. I realize it's more than likely not taxed very high as it stands as it is. I understand that portion. Mm-hmm. But it's just land that could never be used again if... It just seems like quite a burden of possibly putting on the town. But as far as, you know, applying for your app, yeah, it's the best thing to do now. But I think there should be a lot more thought before we actually do go ahead with the purchase of it. That was my concern.
And I agree with you. The burden that we need to consider is lost tax revenue if significant homes are put onto the property. Because you're right, as currently situated, it's farmland assessed and it's not significant tax revenue. But I agree with your...
But I do realize, sorry, though, generally, just a single-family home on a property doesn't pay for itself as far as your education costs to tax. I understand that, but we're not talking a big burden yet. Burden, talking maybe, like I said, 8 homes. But. All right. I just wanted to get a little better clearer there. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rory Hoffman, Buffalo Hall Roof. You said 2/3 was agriculture. So what will happen to that property after it turns to Green Acre? Just go to brush?
No, the this is all very preliminary. The discussions that I've had so far would be, for example, the town could continue to hire lease it out to farmers like we do with some of the land that the town already
owns. You can do that with Green Acres.
My understanding is, Green Acres has told me that they encourage agriculture on existing agriculture land. For example, it's not in Green Acres' interest to let it just turn to brambles and brush. Mm-hmm. You either have to have an intensive program to reforest it with the right diversity of trees and things so that it doesn't just grow up over, you know, 20 years as weeds, or to keep it in farmland activity. But that's all future work that would have to be done to get a so-called management plan in place for it.
But is that, so they're encouraging it. Will it end up that the town might have to come in there and maintain it? Because we have Forest State Park brought all the whole side of Buffalo Hollow, and that is now just brush and trees. So it's like, it used to be a field, the cows used to roam there, and now it's, you can't even walk through it. So is that, you're saying 2/3 of this is a lot of acreage that you're going to turn into. just to nothing. And when you talk about the advantage of the water going down, that, you know, I'm worried about my water on Buffalo Hollow Road, and it's right, we're giving away to other towns, and we're getting nothing back for that. Us to have a cost to maintain this. See, I see buying property to link all these things that the open space, these trails that they're working on, but that's a lot of property that are we in the end going to have to pay to maintain it? Like, well, you're going to purchase it. We're taking. So you might only be making $5,000 a year on property tax, but is it going to cost us $5,000 a year to maintain it?
My preliminary discussions would be that it would be minimal cost to maintain it.
And now, when you go for these grants, are you like the one for the 97 Red Mill? All the stipulation was that you got all these grants from, because you have a lot of other places you need to get money from.
Absolutely.
So if you don't get the money from all the other places, you could cut out to, so in the end, you don't have to take it at all if you don't get enough?
As I said, this is a planning incentive grant. So, for example, if we never can get close to terms for this particular property, the way this Green Acres grant works is we have that money that then, if other parts of our plan become available, we can reallocate it to other more desirable or.
But you said there's a lot of different organizations that will give you money. Will that be the same with each one, that they all, as long as, so in the end, as long as everyone is agreeable to put money in, then we could go forward, and if you don't get all that money, you can break up every single, not take any grants?
Right. Or we can say we only buy two of the lots, not all five of the lots. This is extremely preliminary at this point, not obligating us to any specific transaction.
Okay. Victor Huffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. Now, you're going to obligate, if this goes through, the township will be obligated for $928,500. Am I understanding?
No.
Half the price.
The township will be obligated to find funds to come up to that level, not the township. We're not obligating the township funds on this vote at all.
No.
The side that the Green Acres would get is not a loan. This is a grant that we're applying for.
Now, if so many other people are interested, other institutions are interested in, may not be smart to let them buy it. I mean, tell me the advantage of them.
They like to see the township be interested in the property.
I think if
the township isn't interested, they're not interested. They don't want to, they don't like to go against the township in their master plan.
Sounds like they're very interested because of the locality of this particular property, as it with your walks, your trails, and also with the water rights. So why can't we just kind of use their money instead of, you know?
Well, we are.
I mean,
we would be if it goes.
It is our money because we do pay money into this fund, so we're getting. It is some of our money.
For the Green Acres grant, Green Acres from the state is the largest funder of open space in the state. So if we're successful with this Green Acres application, this becomes an anchor that then the other groups can come in and support. It's a chicken and egg problem in getting these transactions to move forward, because the other groups that I mentioned off, they have lower amounts of funding, and some foundations like to be the last in once they know it's really happening. Green Acres tends to be early, and as I say, the Green Acres is a planning incentive grant, so that if this never materializes, we're applying to be able to execute our open space plan, use it for other purposes over the coming years.
Now, you also mentioned this has been on the back burner for a while. What other properties are you looking at that have been on the back burner that we're going to be looking at trying to purchase or an option?
On the township website is the open space and recreation
plan.
Well,
this guy doesn't use the computer too much, so no. Talk to me.
The reason I say that is that we've got the tax map for the town. In 2002, they went through and identified the various brown areas are lots that are designated as a priority for preservation in our township. the planning incentive grant would allow us to take advantage of opportunities across that plan. Now, you'll later in the agenda, we have to update this because this hasn't been updated since 2002. So some of these lots have already been preserved, and so it needs to be brought up to date.
We're looking at almost a third of the township.
As preservation priorities, not that they would necessarily be purchased. Many of these, you know, if the owners aren't interested in selling, there's no transaction.
So if this were to go through, that means two-thirds of the township now would have to support the township here. Because you would lose the taxability of these areas?
It's certainly not that much. I know. It's certainly not that much. And I can tell you, for example, Brown in here is currently the Mickwin Woods. So I would say as much as half of this is already preserved, and the map needs to be upgraded. The Crystal Springs is still shown as a priority. It's not yet designated. Camp Burney is shown as a priority. That's already privately preserved. So there's a lot of updating that needs to be done here. But, I mean, your point is how much of the town should we preserve? I can tell you if you look at the counties, the last official county plan for our township had as much as 90% of our township in a conservation zone and about half of our township in a so-called bioregion zone. They're in the process of updating that plan. They've got a new draft county plan. But, I mean, the good news is that our town, the land in our town is viewed as very environmentally sensitive and very interesting for conservation because we have good water, because we have contiguous woods for wildlife habitat and the like.
Which brings us to the point that we're saving water for people down the stream that can water their grass, wash their cars, and we get nothing for it. So is there any way we can start to bargain for
Well, we could be maybe get $900,000 for it to buy the
I would.
I'll smile. I won't tell you what I'm thinking. Or what you can do with it.
I would urge you.
This may not come to fruition at all. This is the step one of making it. If there's not any.
I'm sure it will come.
Every month the Highlands Council meets, and I've been going to their meetings for almost a year now. And the debate that you're bringing up comes up regularly. It's a state agency, of course, or a state. I don't know if it's actually an agency, but it's a state entity, and they have debates on their council about water taxes, water fees for the people downstate versus and I'm just repeating the argument, versus the discussion that water is a shared resource and the people downstate have every right to it as we do, just like the air that we breathe and the wildlife that we have. That's a very large discussion that goes on, and I think the Highlands Council is the ideal place to broaden that argument that your point more clear.
When you look at it, a governor, that when we have any type of problems, we worry about the shore first. We build reservoirs and bring the city people out to swim in them. Local people can't get close to them. Then we preserve our land, restrict our buildings. The people around here who want to make a living for themselves can't unless they move on down. We're not getting anything for us up. I think others, maybe other companies or whatever you call these people, I can see more of their money in it. And see, you know.
That's our intention, clearly.
Oh, so. Hey, good luck with that. I got nothing against it not going in. I just want to know a little bit more about it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Adam Duckworth, Chairman, Environmental Commission, 176 Muskoka River Road. I just wanted to give you some energy back. Mike was perfectly articulated. Awesome job. You know we love you. and I completely understand the argument as well. You know, it's a lot on perspective. I think a lot of the people that live in our town are here because you look out across farmland, because you drive by wooded areas, and completely see the argument of shared water, and the work that we're doing here does benefit the entire state. And depending on your perspective, like as Mark said with a smile, $928,000, but that does get us a lot of attention and funding to preserve the way of life that we are here for. So I think if you look at it from that perspective, then you know, it is more fair than we might think it is in some ways. So just wanted to share that and say thanks again, Mike, for driving this.
Anyone else?
Wouldn't do that. Nancy Lawler, 14 Simons Lane. I also would like to commend Mike for all the hard work that you're doing, thinking about not only protecting, you know, the waterways and the habitat, that's great, but, you know, one of the things that's great about our town is how beautiful it really is to live here. And the idea that we can, you know, I remember talking to, actually, I may have even been talking to Ron Milkowski a couple of years ago, but it was somebody who grew up here in the town. I remember them saying that one time they could walk all the way across the town, and, you know, they'd be hunting, you know, rabbits or whatever. And the idea, like, that idea is very captivating to me, that one could walk across our town and not really run into anybody. And except you. And, you know, because our town has been cut up and, you know, we've had some, you know, people taking up, you know, the farms have been divided and, you know, sometimes we can't really do that anymore. And the idea that we could walk from the Raritan River to the Musconetcong River and not see anybody, like that we could do that as citizens, to me it's a very interesting concept that we're preserving our own ability to walk across. I think that's something valuable. You know, the water, you know, it's unfortunate that every time, you know, a house is built, we put a straw into the ground and we're sucking it out and somebody, you know, one of our neighbors might be affected. You know, we won't have to do that here if we preserve this particular land. You know, it's a very water-rich, that 244 acres is very water-rich. I'm hoping that agricultural land, you know, stays agricultural land. I think that's important. You know, of course, I'm always going to go rah-rah for the, you know, birds and bees, but I think that walk across is the thing that excited me the most about that particular, preserving that particular property. So, thanks. Hope it works.
Anyone else? Can I get a motion to close it?
Make a motion to close.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Then we need a motion to pass.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 25-2017, which is the State of New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection Green Acres Enabling Resolution, and that it names Mike Schmidt as our go-between or the successor of the deputy mayor or open space coordinator.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Resolution 26-2017 is a transfers resolution. This is a transfer resolution to transfer $25,200 for aid to the Volunteer Fire Department, LOSAP, recycling, and public buildings. It's basically just to fill in the holes, and so we have the money to spend where we need to spend it. I get a motion or a clarification if anybody needs it.
I'd make a motion to approve resolution 26-2017 for transfers.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Jimmy, would you come up a second? Since you're sitting in the back. I had sent you the email regarding, hopefully you got it.
The chassis.
Was that something you guys aren't, because I know that one was something through a co-op that we could go that route. Otherwise, it's basically then getting a motion to approve us to send it to Tara here to do the bid spec for the
vehicle. My fear with that is we'd end up in the same situation that you and I had the conversation about the command vehicle conversion, where because we're not buying them both off of the same co-op or something like that. Plus, in all fairness, the Chevy diesel chassis that we have now, we haven't had the best mechanical luck with.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure we didn't leave a possibility that we could have gone to make it a little easier path. But if that's the route, we have no problem. Then basically, then we'd be looking what this is. Then we have to make a motion then for Tara to then put together a bid spec for the ambulance.
Is this the
we
same?
He sent and we have the specifications okay. already done. They just have to do the legal review.
So last year we had a bid package in front of us, not a bid package, but the specs. Is this the same as the specs we had last year?
I think there were a couple minor modifications made. Just some minor modifications. Plus, I've been trying to review them to make sure that there's nothing that is brand or manufacturer specific within those. So it should be this pretty much the same exact ones that you guys read.
Yeah, I think the only thing you were specific about was the Ford chassis that you wanted. Is really the key item.
Yeah, which is available by any major ambulance manufacturer out there. So
okay. So that's really what this is for, is to then say, since I just wanted to talk to him before we did this, is then we a motion to then send on the bid specification that Jim already gave us to Tara and Dick to then put together the full bid package.
And this will come back before us one more time, just to motion to send it out for
motion
bid?
Motion to send it out for bid, yep.
What does HG stand for?
Oh, HG. That was when we were trying to go and do the Houston Galveston, but that fell apart with what they could get from them.
Okay.
So I would make a motion to send the fire department specifications for an ambulance to the attorney for preparation of a bid package.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Thank you.
And then, Karen, you have those?
Yeah, I can forward them.
Perfect.
Okay. Then the next page here. The next is the 2002 open space plan update. This is what we spoke about earlier. We just have to get that updated. I guess you spoke with Mike Bolin.
Yep, and there's an update to the his first estimate was he thought it would be between $500 and $1,000 to update Figure 4 and a couple of other figures in our 2002 plan. He now has confirmed that to $1,300.
Okay, so that's his solid price. That's his.
Send me an email. Yeah. It's to have Banish Associates do it. It's not all his work. Okay. It's not all his work. It's the mapping company that did it in 2002. And again, I think this is going to come up for our open space inventory and the like. This is something that has to be updated
anyway
since 2002 in any case.
Mike, so actually Banish is going to be doing the work, not Mike Bolin?
Right.
Okay. Do you have a written proposal or a proposal from them? Like we had for the survey and...
I only have an email from Mike Bolin saying that he confirmed with them that it would be $1,300.
Okay, I'll reach out to Mike then tomorrow. I just will need the business registration and this, the same that I needed for the survey and the other items. So.
Okay.
I'll reach out to him then.
Are we authorizing this tonight or are we asking the planning board to do it? It wasn't clear to me what the procedure is.
The planning board actually would they oversee the master plan, so they would be the ones to authorize Mike to do it, and they would pay for it. I confirmed that with Gail. So
then you're just basically authorizing to push it down to them?
To send it to the planning board, to request that they take care of that.
Okay. Then
I'll make a motion that we push it down to the planning board.
That's good. I'll second.
What the hell? We all know what it means.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Next is actually old business. There's a couple other items on old business that's not on the agenda. First one is the piece of paper that Adam gave us about social media, since he wasn't here last meeting, wasn't able to make it. He wanted to have a few minutes just to discuss with us his thoughts and dreams.
So, hi, everyone. So, as you know, I've volunteered, I guess, to...
You're voluntold.
Voluntold to help us draft and get a social media policy approved. And Bev, I know you'll be my liaison for that, so I'll be working through you here on out. But before I dug into it, I just wanted to have a chance to hear thoughts from you guys to say, make sure we're focusing on the right things. And then also, I have some questions, too, a little bit around just the big picture of how we handle policies within our municipal government, but as well as just the focus of social media policy in general. So the first set of questions here are really around, is this the first policy we're writing within our municipal government?
For social media?
No, just policy in general.
We have policies.
Policy handbook.
Policy, yeah.
A lot of policies.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a there's a process outlined for how they go about, get approved, et cetera?
Well, with this, it would be like you do your employee handbook. It gets drafted, you get to review it, and in this case, with social media, because it affects all your other committees, we'd probably want someone designated from each committee to kind of review it to make sure it meets their needs, especially it looks like the Environmental Commission is probably your most dynamic.
That's the reason why.
Yes, the most dynamic entity on social media to make sure it meets all of your needs, and then it would just have to be approved by resolution. And depending upon what's in that policy, you probably would have to update your employee handbook as well, because you'd kind of want... If you're making your committees commit to something, you probably also want to make your employees commit to that as well. So then it would be kind of not two different social media policies, but it would be a social media policy and then an update to your employee handbook. But those would be drafted and then approved by resolution after you get to review them. And then depending upon where you want to put them, a lot of municipalities just like to put them directly on their webpage, and then on their Facebook account, they have a link there somehow, very prominently, usually in the About section, so that people, when they're using your Facebook page for whatever reason, they know about the policy in place. So that would also be also something to discuss when we're done with it. Where do we put it?
Are all of our other policies on the municipal website?
No, I usually look at the social media policy as something a little bit special in that your employee handbook doesn't necessarily apply to everybody, but when it comes to the social media policy, you really want people that are using your social media, commenting on your Facebook page or things like that, to know about this policy, because in the policy would be included things like notifying the public that, hey, when you comment on this page, it's subject to OPRA and everybody can see it, and also when you're using this page, you have to abide by certain rules. We don't trample on your free speech, but...
You're speaking very generally. I think last year when we went through the social media policy in last meeting, I tried to reemphasize, my understanding is our social media policy at this point would not entertain comments from the citizens.
Yes, so then that's something...
You're covering that, but
yeah.
We would...
Okay, so then that's something that... Again, you would want the public to know about. Where is your employee handbook? Not everyone in the township needs to know about it, but when it comes to something that's used by everyone else. So that's why the social media policy would get put online, whereas some other internal policies wouldn't be up there.
Go ahead, Adam. I was going to say.
No. Please, I'm doing this for you guys.
I mean, we've got our website. Are we going to develop? Is the plan to get somebody hosting a company hosting another site, like a Facebook-type site that we could push information out to people, or...
Because well, you've got
you've got Slack, and there's all kinds of parts to this social media, so I think we have to kind of, like you're doing, define
part
what
of this
all
part
encompasses.
Part of this process is to define what we want to use, and as we said, we really want, if we're, the township has a, if the township is going to have a Facebook page, especially at this point, I would say it's a one-way.
Mm-hmm.
It's an informational page at this point, because we don't, we're not big enough to have somebody that can manage it.
Right.
You know, unless Karen wants to, you know, manage the Facebook page.
Yeah, and that would be, you would have to designate people that are authorized to post on your Facebook page. You obviously don't want to have 15 different people with the password authorized to post on your Facebook page.
Right.
So that would be a discussion amongst you guys who you want to delegate that job to.
This is just one thing.
And we can make it Tom, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not much will be happening.
Before I forget, only because I saw it in the newspaper a couple of weeks ago, is there any way, in a case of an emergency, if we wanted to push out a message on the non-official, like the Lebanon Township Community Bulletin Board? I know some towns have done things like that. And I saw it, so I said, well, I might as well ask a lawyer. Is that something? It was
in
the newspaper.
I mean, that's got to be something to coordinate with that, because that appears to be a privately run kind of resident-based site. That would be that would be discussions with them. And they could, depending on how your settings are set up, they could very easily, if Lebanon Township or the police department posts something like this, you know, this road is flooded, they could very easily share that post onto their own page.
Or, for example, if we wanted to give updates if there was a bridge under construction, rather than seeing 100 people saying what's happening with this bridge, and then other people are saying, oh, I know what's happening, but it's really not happening.
Well, I think that's already, you know? Does your police department has a, does your police department have a page? Oh, okay, so.
But if you know a lot of the residents are going to a certain section, it's a good way to ward off.
Right, so that's usually
right
what your Facebook page is going to be, is a one out, and this is something, for example, then one of the people authorized to post on the township Facebook page should probably be your chief of police or your emergency management coordinator, so then they can post those sorts of updates, or a discussion of, do we want the police department to have a separate page? Most municipalities, the police department has a separate page because it's an entirely different type of information that's going out there. The police department, they're posting about road closures, if there's a break-in in town, whereas your municipal page tends to be a little bit more warm and fuzzy, like there's a festival this weekend or something like that. So that's a decision you also have to make as well. Do you just want one township page, or do you want the police department and Office of Emergency Management to have their own page for things like that?
But back
and I just want to be cautious of time here. I mean, these are all things that we'll document in the policy and really iron those out over the next few weeks here.
But and so that's kind of, I have like a skeleton policy to give you, and then it's specific things like that for you guys to fill in, where it's really policy decisions about the specifics of Lebanon.
But back to the initial question I had, is it, would I be able to just have a conversation with the webmaster of the community bulletin board just to see if there was a way you could push something out and not have comments come back? Is that something we could just look into?
Well, you would be, the intention right now is to have on your Facebook page to set it up such that people can't comment on it.
Right.
And that is something, do you guys use City Connections for your web management? Okay. Anyway, through the League of Municipalities, you're actually entitled to use, it's a company called City Connections, for free. And you can ask them for
this
things
is more
like
Farmers Only.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so lonely. I'm out here with my cows.
Well, City Connections is essentially their IT consulting for municipalities. And you can use their services free through the League. And they're better for more tech questions, like how do we set up our privacy settings and things like that, because that is entirely possible that I could screw that up, and I don't want to be involved in the tech part. But usually City Connections can tell you these are the buttons you have to click to make sure that people can't comment on your page. And I think that's the intention here, is the township page is going to be one way, only information going out, it doesn't have to be always like that. You can do things, some municipalities will open up one specific post if you want to do a survey, something like that. So, but typically, you know, that's more tech stuff, how you which
see
boxes to check.
Two facets of what I was going to work on. One is that Facebook, that end of the policy, and the other end of it is how the other commissions are going to utilize
some of these
things for communication or just archival, you know, utilizing clouds and, you know, cloud storage, things like that for archival information.
And I started looking at, when you guys asked me to do this, because most of our, the social media policies that I've written basically now have dealt with your you know, the social media that a lot of people are familiar with, Facebook, Twitter, and your municipal webpage. So now I'm trying to incorporate and get a better understanding of things like Slack and using cloud storage and incorporating that into your policy. So that's, and I know, and it looks like Slack is actually pretty well set up to avoid all the problems that you can foresee with Open Public Meetings Act things, with too many people meeting in your online space. So I think those things are manageable, and that'll also be working out that language. I'll actually most likely have to talk to Adam about specific, how do I word things, because, you know, everything is new and emerging, and we just want to make sure that we capture everything that you want to use. So it looks like the environmental
day. And then tomorrow will be different.
Yeah, it looks like the environmental
That's a great
commission
point, actually. So
it's
one of the so real quick, just to close out the whole approval process, are you going to be looking for each committee and commission to acknowledge that they've reviewed it and they support it and they've, you know,
it's probably just best for at least them to go in front of them, and then, you know, if they have some concerns, like I said, EOSC is the one that uses the features the most.
Mayor, is this going to the Board of Adjustment and Planning Board?
Well, they would never use it.
They're never using
it. No, I don't see them as.
If they don't have a social media
historians,
policy.
Historians, library.
Standing committee.
Standing committee.
Okay.
I mean, most of those guys don't have emails.
Anyone that would be developing a separate social media presence outside of just the standard township one would have to look at it, because you never. You know, I've written policies that have been pretty restrictive, and then someone, like when you have an organization like your environmental commission that's very dynamic on social media, they look at the policy and they say, hey, this actually restricts us from doing everything we've been doing for the past 3 years. So that's something you want to be careful of, is you're not interrupting the normal operations of how things have been going. So, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So that's the other reason why we need the input from the committees, you know, how they use things. How are they using Facebook and Twitter and other social media platforms?
Okay. So we'll make sure standing committees have a chance to review that.
Yeah.
And can commit in their minutes to say they've reviewed it and they support the policy.
And you probably want anyone – typically what I've done is you designate – any standing committee that has a social media presence, they designate a person – that's going to manage that account. And probably what we'd want when we have a finalized policy is whoever is designated as managing your social media for every committee should sign off that they have read and agree to abide by the terms of your social media policy. Mm. Just like you would with your employee handbook, you have all your employees sign for it.
So would the environmental open space social media policy, would you be just sending if you were the manager of it, would you just be sending information out, or would others on your group be working back and forth?
I don't know. That depends on how this policy plays
because
out, and we'll figure
that
out.
You'd have a meeting, too, if enough of you all got talking, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So that's why
excuse me if I'm a little naive on all this, but
there could be problems.
Yeah. No, a big concern that gets addressed by social media policies where there's a specific section, and actually this would go in your volunteer and employee handbook, is that everybody agrees, you know, we're not going to be on Twitter, on Facebook, talking amongst a quorum of the members of these committees. That's something that gets put in there.
Yeah, so I'd like to align with everyone on the intent of really what we want to do with this policy. So typically, you write a policy to outline principles and guidelines and let people use their sound judgment in making the day-to-day decisions, right? I'm not going to call out Slack specifically or Facebook specifically, right? We're going to say, hey, this is what the law says and what we have to be aware of, right? These are some guidelines and principles for you to follow as the next Slack comes out, right? And you have to think about how to use that. And then we enable people to make good decisions with the policy. I'm not going to say every committee needs to have this specific person, all passwords have to be logged in this specific shelf in the municipal building, and those types of very prescriptive things. That's not my intent right now, but I want to hear from all of you guys.
Wouldn't the township committee's Facebook be a little bit more protected? Because we only want our information out, and we don't want a chat box going on. So I think our password here at the committee level has to be, however you want to put it, shelved there.
Yeah.
So it's not for everyone.
Right. So to take that example, right, from a policy perspective, we would say that for the municipal government communicating with constituents, it should be one-way communication, and passwords should be stored in a secure area in the municipal building, right, or something like that.
Okay.
We're not going to be any more prescriptive than that, because you might use Facebook, you might use the next thing, you might have a little password book in a secret safe somewhere or something else, but we want to outline the guidelines and principles for people to follow when thinking about these things. Is that okay with what you guys are expecting?
Yeah, because, I mean, the other ones out there, Periscope, I mean, there's all, you know. So there's so many ones that come out, like every month there's a new one coming out. So if you called it out, and then we'd have to rewrite it. So if it is, I would think the as widely as you can write it, so
yeah,
next item.
Every time I write kind of a new one, I make it broader and broader, and especially with when you're, I don't even call it like commenting anymore. I call it interactions with the public, because I don't know what, you know, on any new social media that comes out in the future, is it still going to be called commenting, or is it going to be some other kind of interaction you would have with outside people? So that's, and that would be a decision. It's the township site is going to be just output, and you would have to make the decision. Do you want to allow your standing committees to allow the two-way communication?
Yeah, and so something to think, and we'll iron all that out in the policy, but then something to think about: if our policy is going to be principle based, right, set people up to make good decisions, it would be great, and typically in a framework like this, right, you have your policies, which are, you know, what to think about, but then you have your procedures to say, all right, once you've decided to use Facebook, right, here are the steps to take to, you know, if someone posts a bad comment, right, here are the very specific steps to take to address that on your Facebook page, for example. And it sounds like we have an employee handbook. I don't know if there's any type of handbook out there for committee members or commission members, but I can say we would love something like that for a whole slew of things out there that would be really helpful, not only for social media but for other things. So that's something to think about as a next step with once this policy is written. Okay. So the only one more question here. So what I'll be focusing on from a social media policy perspective is, how does our municipal government engage our constituents, right? And that could be both with social media that we own, like a township Facebook page, or like Bev mentions, you know, the township Facebook page that's out there, how do we engage in that on behalf of the municipality? So that's kind of one focus. The other focus is, how do our municipal committees use and standing committees use social media to conduct their business, like we do with Slack and the Environmental Open Space Commission? Right, that's kind of another way to look at this. So we're going to address that very specifically. And then the third piece is guidelines for use of social media on a personal basis by municipal representatives, right? So I'm not, you know, I'm not acting on behalf of the government, but because I am part of the government, I need to be aware of certain things, right, and make sure people don't think I'm speaking on behalf of the municipality when I'm really not. So it's those three things that we're specifically going to address directly. And if there's anything you feel that's missing from that, let me know. Now or through Bev, but, you know, over the course of this.
Yeah, and the third piece that you mentioned, that usually gets kind of addressed in the separate employee and volunteer handbook, because that's more regulating your private speech versus your speech representing the township, and that gets a little sticky. That's not necessarily like the social media policy is sort of broad overview of how the municipality uses their own social media accounts, and then you want to have a separate policy that addresses how you as a representative perhaps use your personal social media. And that's extreme circumstances, like in on Long Island, there was a volunteer fire department member that posted like a video of him in his Nazi regalia on his Facebook page, holding, you know, the flag of the fire department. That's the sort of thing that those extreme cases that the sort of employee volunteer policy would look at. And if your employee handbook, I'm assuming, doesn't apply to your volunteers, you might just want to have a short, you know, employee and volunteer social media policy that everybody signs off on, you know. And those policies are essentially, I agree not to do anything incredibly stupid and offensive,
right,
as representing Lebanon Township. That is, I mean, honestly, that's what those policies are. And it's...
So Terry, you bring up a good point, is that you say you see those as separate policies.
Yeah, because you're... The social media policy, the big one is sort of how the municipality uses the social media policy and how the municipality uses social media to interact with the public, or the lack thereof in the interaction. And then you want to regulate, but advise your employees and volunteers how they're expected to conduct themselves when they're representing the municipality.
So is that, I mean, from township committee perspective, should I exclude that from my scope then? I mean, the whole piece around conducting yourself on, you know, from a personal perspective on social media?
I see why you're asking, because as I was hearing it, it sounded more like that's something that just legal advice could...
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that whole piece of it is very, it's a very sensitive topic because of, obviously, we have the First Amendment, so you have to, those have to be crafted very carefully where you're not trampling on people's First Amendment rights and their right to have an opinion as a private citizen. So those tend to be a little more sticky. Yeah.
So it sounds like the first two points we're really asking for Adam. To drive, and the third point we'll ask
Kara.
Yeah, to drive. And yeah. Adam, I guess as a starting point, I can send you the most recent social media policy I've done.
Okay.
If you want to look at it and, you know, make comments on it, what you think the township needs or doesn't need in terms of that, so we can start there, so then we can have a jumping off point and go from there.
And ask a question. What is there a model town that you know that you could say they are the model town for social media and how a good template to work from?
Metuchen was the first town to start regulating it, but their policy was made, and that's the one that I used as my jumping off point, but their policy was written about 4 to 5 years ago, so now it's evolved. So I've done them for the town of Clinton, Holland Township, so those are a little bit more, have a little bit more, you know, bells and whistles once we've realized the problems you encounter with the use of social media. So I would say Metuchen is probably that's the skeleton kind of everybody uses, and then, you know, adding or taking away things as you see fit, because these policies really are tailored to each municipality, because no municipality uses social media in the exact same way. Mm. So they're really personalized.
Okay.
And then, Mark, just to confirm, so Tara and I working together, you want to be the go-between kind of?
Yes, just so we know what's...
Okay.
So we... Being asked of them, and so we know what's going on, and
okay.
So when I'm going back and forth,
and I want to make sure.
When I'm going back and forth with Adam, so I'll CC you, Mark, and Bev.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Okay. Good. That was all I had. Anything else from you guys?
Wonderful. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. The next item that's on here is the, and this would be Jim again coming up, if you want to just, is we have the lease agreement, revised release agreement, so that it'll include you guys being able to rent, and then the revised rental hall conditions and agreements that Tara drafted up. And we went through last meeting what we wanted as revisions
today.
And edits.
No.
Then he can't say no.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't thinking.
So, the first one would be the lease agreement, because then that would allow us to essentially, that allows the whole rental. So first would be if we were satisfied with the lease agreement.
Okay, so that's your question. I received this 20 minutes before the meeting started, so I haven't had a chance to read it. So.
And that's what I'm also saying is we just got it. So if you want to review it, we can table it to next meeting if need be. I also want to just bring Jim up here to make sure that there was no other events you had scheduled that we would have to approve like we did last time.
No.
That's my only concern,
no,
that there's anything that you have that's, you know, because if not, then we can just table this to next meeting for approvals. I just wanted to make sure that there was nothing that we were going to get you stuck with.
No, the next hall rental we have is actually me running the hall. So.
Oh, okay.
good.
If we could get it done by April 13th, that'd be great.
Oh, now you're putting a time on this. Okay, so then we'll table this to next meeting.
I think so.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I wanted to make sure with them that we weren't going to put them in a bad situation. Then we will table it to the next meeting and then give everybody a chance to review it one more time. The other item is you have, the next one was the letter to go out to the Winding Brook Lane Association. After our meeting last week, we talked about this. I asked Karen to draft a letter, kind of in what the spirit of what we had talked about. And before we sent it out, I just wanted to see if everybody was comfortable with it, or if there's any wording you want to change or anything like that. They were old items that came up basically today.
Is the only thing I was wondering, do we want to, I know that we were saying something, I'm not a construction expert by any means, but even if we did do things, we couldn't bring it up to code. I mean, like, to give them a little more oomph as to why we...
I thought about that, too. I didn't know if that's something we wanted to add in there or not.
It's just, though, like, if I were them and I didn't know what had been transpiring, I would... I mean, there's a lot of detail here, but it's... The roadways do not meet the construction design of Class 2 local road. And it's like, well, can we make it? Come up to speed to make it.
Yeah, well, that was the only other sentence that I had thought about was adding in there is that on the advice of our township engineer is that there are still parts of the requirement that could never be met.
That's, to me, that means a lot.
So that was the only other line that I had thought about also as a possibility of adding to it.
I'm always hesitant to use words like never be
met. Well, that's, and
which
that's
why I would agree not.
I thought
would be not to put that in.
That's what I was concerned about.
And that was his statement of never, so that's why I didn't ask you to add it at this point until we just discussed it.
I did think about that.
Yeah. Could,
And again, I think they came to us with a request. I think we're directly answering the request.
Right.
But I don't think this is the place to have a discussion of what it would take to potentially
agree to a request. I expect they're going to want to come back after they get this letter. So that's where we can have that conversation of why we came to this. And I didn't feel... That's why I actually typed in there and was about to send it to Karen to say, and I said, you know what, let me wait and let's have this discussion.
Well, and that makes me feel better because, like, the end result is I'm picturing myself in that situation and what I'd want to hear. And if would I come back and would I be satisfied then? Because I don't want to make it look like we're just...
I expect that they will ask to come back and just talk with us after they receive the letter. I certainly would. So I would expect they would too. But it's just basically is everybody's comfortable with it, the letter going out, if there's or not. And if you want to table it, we can. It's went this long. I have no problem with that too.
again, we just received this. I didn't realize.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep. Nope. I know. Because Karen and I went back and forth because we had approved it. We had approved that in sending the letter. And by the time we went back and forth, it was yesterday. And I said, let's just put it on the agenda instead of me just saying yes, send it out. I wanted it in the whole committee.
Yeah, I'm glad we got a chance to read it. The letter's good. I'm not sure if it captures the real. That the road just doesn't meet our ordinances.
Well, yeah, I know. You know what I mean? I know
that,
right.
That's
yeah.
The only thing that I think the letter's good, except I'm just not.
Yeah, and I don't know how to give it more punch without being. Absolute.
What about that? You had the engineer go out there. I mean, there's nothing about that. We had anybody go out there and look at this. It almost looks like we just looked. I mean, it's good, like I said, but like if they're missing some of the details that we know about, all the work we went through, you went through, to make it try to come up with at least thoughtful.
Like I said, I mean this is like I said would be a 10,000-foot view letter. Mm-hmm. You know, do we want to
maybe
dive deeper into it or not, and what we send to them?
I don't know either.
It's a rough.
Maybe just table it till the next meeting, and we can.
That's fine. I mean, if you have suggestions or you think about it, how we could word this better to maybe be a little more
palatable.
Also definitive as to what the reasonings. I have no problem with that. That's part of the reason why I wanted everybody to look it over and not just send it out, because I kind of had the same feelings, but I couldn't come up with the right words. So, okay, we'll put it to the side and let everybody think about that.
I'm sorry, did you want that on the next meeting agenda?
Yes, please. Where am I? I am here. Okay, new business. We have the DPW manager correspondence requesting to advertise for a surplus sale. Warren had sent this looking to sell a 2001 International dump truck, which has a bad motor, a 2012 Chevy Tahoe, which also has a bad motor, the 1986 Scavenge Vac, which is a bad clutch, which from my understanding he's replaced a couple times and it goes, and it's just not worth repairing, 91 chipper, and a 98 Dodge Mason truck. Coates tire changer and a air compressor. So I guess he's looking to advertise for a surplus sale.
And as he described the process to me, that he would receive bids prior to February 28th when they would be open, and then the result of that bid would come to this committee on the March 15th meeting for us to have the final decision on which bids we accept or reject all of them.
Right.
So the motion now is to have him advertise for this process.
Correct.
If there's no
looking at the calendar, so I was just wondering.
No, just this is a motion to advertise the
surplus
bid.
Yep.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Next is scheduling budget meetings. Typically scheduled three of them in the past.
Three, Greg has. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So typically Greg has it done like first week of March, the audit books.
I think last year the first one was on March 3rd, possibly.
Yeah, because I think he said he'd have them like March 1st or before that.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
And I know they did the 17th because I said we were talking about the green on the green.
I think there were Tuesdays or Thursdays last year, I think, or alternating. So,
I believe last year we blocked out four just to
I'm going to be rude here for a second. Available? I'm going to use the bathroom while you guys think about me.
Okay.
Getting twitchy?
I'm getting twitchy.
That's what he said last time. Okay, I was getting twitchy.
Last time we did Thursdays, didn't we?
That's what I recalled. Yeah. And do you remember what time we start these?
6 o'clock.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
We had sandwiches, you know. That's what we did last time. We just ran a bank of Thursdays. I believe.
Tell him what we did when he gets back.
Solve anything while I was going?
Well, we were.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good. I'm good.
We just, because last year I thought we had it on Thursdays, meetings just started at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
I can say for me that would work. The only thing is on March 16th, there's a Highlands meeting starting at 4 o'clock, but 6 o'clock should still work.
Okay.
I mean, back to 7.
So what?
So we start March 2nd, 9th, 16th,
23rd? About 4 days?
I would say last year we blocked out four and then we didn't use the fourth one.
Right.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
But just to have it.
Yeah.
I'll bring the cake on the 9th.
Okay. 2nd, 9th, 16th, and 23rd?
Could we at short notice decide if we move the meeting on the 23rd to start at 7, or is that something we should lock in now?
I would have to notice that, right, Tara? It would have to be noticed in the newspaper if we change the time.
Would anyone mind that if we start the 2nd and the 9th at 6 p.m. and the 16th potentially at 7 p.m.?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, a lot of times we're not even two is enough.
Right, we may not need it. And then the 23rd back to a 6 p.m. start.
Yeah, so the 16th is the only one that's
at. It would be the 7.
For that?
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion to set up the budget meetings on the 2nd and the 9th at 6 p.m., the 16th at 7 p.m., and the 23rd was 6 p.m. Is that what you said?
Fine.
Yeah.
All of March?
Mm-hmm.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Okay. Now, next item is we have two different applications from St. John Newman's. One is a raffle application for June 3rd at 10 p.m. And the other, or actually there's two raffle applications here, and the other one is June 3rd at 10:15 p.m. So if we can get a motion to approve both raffle applications?
I'll make a motion to approve both raffle applications.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay, and then we have a social affairs permit for also St. John Newman's Church. Makes sense if it's the same date, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, June 3rd. For June 3rd also. Get a motion to approve their social affairs permit.
I didn't get a chance to read it yet, so I'm going to... Oh, wow. I didn't realize how long it was. It's just...
It's been reviewed by the police chief, and he found it to be in order.
To approve it?
I'll make a motion to approve the social affair permit application for St. John Newman Church for June
3rd,
2017.
Second.
Yes.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Then we have presentation of vouchers.
None for me.
None for you. Okay.
I learned my $1,000 rule less and less.
Okay. First item is for $9,190. This is payment for 10% payment for the generators that were due at startup of the generators. And I have $16,598.17. This is for additional funding for the fire department for the refurbishment of the rescue hall for the appliances.
Actually, could I just ask on the generator voucher?
Mm-hmm.
There was a discussion last week, a question about whether the electrical line was installed correctly, the tripping hazard potential.
Mm-hmm. That was done the way it was discussed that it would be done, and
I just wanted to bring it up before we pay the final payment on it.
Yep.
That was done according to
the other. I mean, if you want
is
to have
the specifications to run the above ground.
Yeah, and the PO was like that's how they were talked about discussed. You know, running it. There was nothing about.
Say I talked to some people who reviewed it. And they said there's nothing in there about running above ground. Just question.
There's nothing about running below ground either. Then.
Exactly. But the verbal was given to them when they came out with the initial site evaluation.
No. If you're running around the generator, you know.
Yeah, but it's directly in line with the fuel tank. The fuel delivery guy comes in both places.
Oh. Well, we'll have to put a fence around it. Helps go around it then. But it seems, I mean, it goes 2 foot down and then 2 foot back up again. I don't know of any electrician that would have done that.
You know.
Well, they did it because we moved the pad so far away. And in actuality, after the fact, they sent me a $3,000 change order for it.
Really?
Yes. Which I said, good luck with that. Because you didn't get anybody's approval. And I got an email from yesterday saying, we're dropping that. Thank you. So, there's a couple other emails in there that may not have been so nice, but at the end of the day, they said, they look for money after the fact for doing that. But this payment was for the startup that was done on them.
But yeah, I mean, that's where the discussion was going right out of them and right into the building. It was never to go above, or excuse me, never to go below grade was the discussions. So.
Wanted to see before we sign off on the final payment if that was done as begging it was.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, that was done the way it was discussed. Then I've got for Gephardt and Kiefer. Actually, I didn't. Yeah, I did see those. $9,058.01. This is for multiple general services, Mount Laurel services, and services relating to Red Mill Road. Then we have Finch Fuel Oil. This is for fuel oil for the squad building, the old squad building, Station 3, $1,812.84. And that's all mine.
I've got the first quarter county tax payment of $709,657.47. I've got for Atlantic Salt, $16,931.13. I have got C&M Auto Parts for a total of $2,735.14 for a long list of oil filters and batteries, etc. For the Hunterdon County Library Tax, $71,129.51. For the Hunterdon County Open Space Tax, $67,639.32. Those are both first quarter. For Finch Fuel Oil, for delivery to Fire Station 1 Municipal Building, Fire Station 2, and for the garage, $2,823.47. And Finch Fuel to the DPW Building, $2,066.90.
I have two for the Police Department. The first one is a new server for $2,319.94, along with other attachments for that server. And the second item for the police department is a new laptop, which is $845. Didn't have to really report that one. It's under $1,000. That's all I got.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the vouchers?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Correspondence. We have minutes from the historians. We also received minutes from the recreation, and we received the minutes from the Environmental and Open Space Commission. The other item is last year we had talked about having a dumpster day. We approved it, but then it just the weather, Warren and Joanne had gotten. Didn't want to schedule one close to holidays, and then the weather was concerned. She had confirmed that the company LMR that we had approved to do it would hold their price. They came up with April 22nd from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. to be the townwide cleanup day. Basically, just I guess you know, just as a probably more should just do a kind of a motion to approve that this is a good day. Again,
I would make a motion to approve April 22nd for the spring cleanup at the Department of Public Works garage.
And I second that.
A roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Can I ask a question about this?
Sure.
What the following items will not be accepted. What is accepted? Because I was looking at it and it was kind of like a little confusing.
Everything
to me.
Is not accepted.
Okay, so like if I had curtains, I could bring them down. So it's basically it's dumpster day, like you said.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But the point of, you know, tires is a regulated. You could take that to like an STS or something like that. The Freon electronics that's covered in, you know, when we do the electronics and the white goods.
You can bring paint.
You can't.
Oh no, it's hazardous waste.
That's considered hazardous waste.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, tree limbs, things like that. Those aren't allowed because around here you got enough wood, you can stick them in.
Yeah, couches you could bring.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. So,
That seems to be it. So, can I get a motion to open the public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay.
I knew it. Here she comes.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo. I didn't have anything to say. I was going to come up and tell you a good day.
That's always good to see you anyway.
Tara mentions this volunteer handbook. I've asked several times of members. I will volunteer. I know that the Rec Committee and the EOC, we've all talked about that we have no guidance on different things. And I just feel sometimes the historians are more held to a stricter rules because we come to the meetings and understand what the rules are. But the other groups have no clue of what they should follow. So I will volunteer to be on this committee to make a volunteer handbook. I think every year...
I think that'll be our next. After Adam gets through the social media, we
need to... It's like we...
Yeah,
like how to purchase something. No one knows how to do... Everyone does it different. Like, they all tell...
I'd ask Karen. I guess there was at one time there was something of that written, like a... I'll call it a cheat sheet of how to purchasing and stuff.
Well, Tom has it there, but I've sat with members of all of the committees to go over it,
I've
sat with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we also just, it's probably...
But we don't have anything in writing. We have the purchase request form, which I've...
Because I've come to the town and that they showed me. So, but if we started a whole new chairperson on our committee, they would have no clue of where to go. Like when Vic started, if we didn't come, because in our committee, Ralph was the chairperson. He died, and then you're stuck on how to move forward. So every year you start with a new committee person, a chairperson, and then it's like what rules should you be following? Like sending your minutes. I like to see now that more people are sending in their minutes. Their committees don't even take minutes. At one point it was just historians submitting their meeting minutes. So now you're getting more, but people don't even, the committees are not even aware of all the things that they should be aware of. I just think it's if you're starting have that chairperson know that they read all these minutes. And what she was, I think for now that you should do, now that we're in social media, see, like the historians have their own friends of the museum, our own Facebook page that we comment on. So I would share it because I'm administrator on, so I can post things on it and then I share it to the other committees. But when Tara was making the comment of, so if I'm commenting, even though it says it's not affiliated with the Lebanon Township Municipal Government on that, it still can come back that I'm on the historian committee if I'm posting something. So her making that point was, a good idea to not maybe, especially that we're all, just commenting and not realizing that you're, like if I talked about something on the historians that maybe something I shouldn't have said, that it could be taken that way. So I think that was a good idea that she made that point I never thought about. And then now back on to this, on the water. I know
water.
The water. I know we're all concerned of saving water for Newark. My concern is saving water for me. Mm-hmm. We have this hybrid thing that we brought up before. Now, where do we go to find that out? I mean, they could suck up whatever they want, and that's coming out of my aquifer. So that's, to me, it's more, I don't care what goes to Newark. We're concerned that my well will run dry, and I'm pretty boxed in by Voorhees State Park. I don't have the option of digging other places on my property. I have a brook that runs through it. So if my water runs dry, which I understand somebody on 5... on Bunville Road, that their water is real low, and they're right behind that High Bridge Water Company. So how do we know that that's not affecting their water? So that my concern is, how do I protect myself, the water that the High Bridge is taking out? High Bridge takes water out of Lebanon Township and Clinton Township. They don't take it out of their own. They're taking other people's water, and we're not getting anything for it. Like, my well runs dry, my responsibility, I'll have to dig my own well because they're stealing my water.
I don't have an answer for it. I know what you're asking, I don't have an answer for it.
But where do you go to find
those wells are regulated, and I can't remember who said if it was the New Jersey Water Supply Authority or... But they're definitely regulated on a commercial well how much water you can take out of a well.
Yeah, I just don't know what it is.
I don't know. I don't remember. We had that discussion and we have to get back to it.
And any water purveyor, whether it's
right.
a company or a municipality, has to get permission from the DEP before water.
Right.
So we That's can go, so I can like
the
call...
The state, essentially, the state owns the list.
Yeah, it is regulated.
Not the towns.
So it's the first start with Highbridge Water Company?
Or the DEP, I'm not sure. Well, you could start with that water company and ask them what their permitted use is and who regulates them.
What their drawdown is.
You can fill out an open request form, too, and any documents that pertain to that well and what's drawn from there. So anything that they have that's in writing, they would have to provide you.
So the only way really to prevent is the DEP is the only one that's going to be able to protect my water, basically, because they're saying
they're the
ones
giving the permits to them. If that's
It just doesn't seem fair that they're able to suck our water out for their town. You know, they're building more and more because I guess they're this because they have the rail station there, so they're building all these apartments, and I think they're getting tax credit because they're this hub, and so they're building more things, so it's more water they're sucking out. Just
how did you find out about that again?
Huh?
How did you find out about that again?
About
that they were taking your water? Did you read
right across the front of her office?
But how do you know that it's coming? I mean, how did you know that it?
It's water that's coming out of our aquifers. It's coming right.
Okay, because they're right.
The company's right there.
Yeah, it's literally across the street from our house.
Yeah. All right.
And it goes through our property right across all the way to Highbridge.
Okay.
Which I guess thankfully they have never had to dig up the pipes.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Everyone, I'm glad you're here.
Ron Mikowski, Rocky Run Road. Just a couple quick ones. In regards to Verizon, I think they missed a point, or maybe I misunderstood, but you're not so much looking at them as you're looking at everyone else who comes behind them.
Correct.
I think you're handling it quite well. Applaud you for that. The other thing is, Mike had said about with the social media, it should be one way. I keep hearing it getting eroded a little bit. Well, what about comments here? I believe it strictly has to be one way, because once you open the box for just a little bit, because you do know people are going to take advantage of it, and then how do you recover? So I think you really need to keep that as one way. And Adam, I think, is going to do a good job. He seemed to be very thorough. And plus, the last meeting, you said he should have it done by the end of February. I think it's going to run a little longer.
Well, that's what he wanted.
And I also think it's, you know, with this one way, it depends on what piece of social media you're using. Like if you've got the one way box that's communicating to people, like the police saying something, yeah, versus collaboration software like Slack, it's all going to be handled differently. So,
but still, is I don't believe we need to recognize any information coming into us, mm-hmm, so that we don't end up getting tagged with the responsibility of what's said. Like, other thing is, you do have to remember, someone's a professional here as an employee or whatever, and they want to speak on their own personally, they do have a right, but you have to, you got your job cut out for you. The handbook, volunteer handbook, good idea. Like I say, like you said, but in a little while you can work on that later. Because I know with the employee handbook, there's some things in there that needs to be updated, some things I don't always follow. But whatever policy you put in place, you do have to follow it. That was the only what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Got your clipboard, Victor?
I'll be
out
there all night.
Come on, second.
You've got the platter to just come around and serve.
Here, if you want some pretzels, you can have
pretzels. I know, I'm just some water.
Maybe. Seeing none, can I get a motion to close?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. We are going to go into executive. We are going to discuss contract negotiations. There, I do not expect there will be any action.
Will there be an update on COA?
Yeah, and an update on the pending affordable housing litigation. Short update.
I'm getting twitchy now.
You're getting twitchy?
Yeah, not as bad as you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Can we make a motion to go into executive?
Yes, before she runs away.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a motion?
That was a motion.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay.
I'm sorry, Mark, that was contract and affordable housing empty, and that was it?
Yeah, well, and fire. A fire official, the one concerned the contract.
Contract. Well, yeah. Our employee.